Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
All right, Matt McGloin, Pater Podcast. We just had Tom Hanifin on Friday's show. The bookend is at Matt on today. Sir, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Hey, what's going on, Steve? Steve, let me tell you something. I'd love, like, if you created, like, the Steve Jones Sports Almanac or something like that, where we just get, like, a, you know, a description of sporting events you've seen, or, you know, because you're an encyclopedia of sports knowledge, man. It's fun to listen to.
Well, I appreciate that very much. Hey, by the way, the movie's going to be up in Scranton this weekend?
It is. Yes, it is. Yeah, Saving the Roar premiere up here in Scranton. Really looking forward to it. We're thinking we're going to have a nice turnout, you know, and you know how, you know, first and foremost, how special Northeast Pennsylvania is to me in the Scranton area. You know how supportive they are of Penn yep. State football. So it was really important to us to try to put something together here to show, you know, the people of Scranton and the greater Scranton area this film. So we're excited about it. And again, hopefully we have a great turnout.
Yeah, I hope it's a great turnout. I know your dad asked me to come up, but with a game on Saturday and a game Monday night, I'm kind of in a sandwich, so I think I'm.
Hey, you're harder to get to than the president sometimes, Steve. You know, we understand you're busy.
Yeah, well, I really appreciate your dad asked me to come up. I mean, I really thought about it long and hard, and I thought, you know what, I don't think that makes sense for me to do this. So
you're always welcome in the Scranton area.
You know how much I love that area. My first 2 years was at the Wilkes-Barre campus up in Lehman. So that part of the state means a lot to me. All right, Saturday's game. Let's just start with quarterback play. You've watched Sean Clifford play this year, and his numbers are pretty close to where they were in 2019. He was about, a little bit better than 3-1 touchdown to interceptions. He's at 3-1 touchdown to interceptions now. His completion percentage is higher than 2019. What are you seeing from him, pro and con?
You know, I think, you know, the word I keep going back to throughout this season, especially over the past few weeks, really is just frustrating. You know, I think it's frustrating for us as fans, frustrating, you know, for us as, you know, Penn State media analysts or whatever you want to call us. And I think it's because we know how special this year could have been for this Penn State program, how special this year could have been for Sean Clifford if he didn't have to deal with that injury at Iowa. You know, it's sad in a way because he was playing the best football of his career. And it was a pleasure to watch him week in and week out early in the season. But Steve, even watching him on Saturday, you could tell he's just not himself. You know, so that's definitely been frustrating. It's been sad, you know, because you can tell how tough of a kid he is, how bad he wants to win, how good of a leader he is. You know, but it's just, I just think he's been a little inconsistent over the weeks, and it's definitely because, and again, I don't know for sure. Just, you know, all I can do is sit here and speculate, obviously, but it just seems like he's not 100%, you know, so it's got to be frustrating for him.
You know, whenever nobody knows better than you do that on any play, I mean, football's the ultimate team sport. You've got to have all 11 guys execute on a given play. How tough is it when it's on a play, 10 out of 11 do it, and then the next play, 10 out of 11 do it, but it's the different group of 10 that ends up doing it. It's not the same guy over and over again.
Yeah, no, I think we saw a little bit of that on Saturday as well. A few miscommunications. Running backs missed a few pass blocking assignments. You know, everybody's putting something together. Next thing you know, offensive tackles are stuck in one-on-one situations versus David Ojabo or Aiden Hutchinson, and they get beat. You know, it's just you have to be dialed in every single play. There needs to be this over-communication, you know, on every single play on the sidelines. Everybody needs to know exactly what's going on. You know, a lot of that's on the quarterback. A lot of that is on Mike Yurcich and James Franklin as well, making sure that, you know, everybody knows exactly what they're supposed to do, what their assignment is. And, you know, you're right, for how great it's been at times this year, it's also been, you know, pretty poor at times as well. So consistency is something that, you know, this offense especially hasn't had.
They got some running game going on Saturday with Kevon Lee. Did you start to see a sync between that particular running back and the line at some points?
Yeah, you know, it was, I mean, I've talked a lot about Kevon Lee on the podcast over the past few weeks, you know, about how he's done a much better job of just finding the crease and hitting the hole and getting north-south and getting positive yards. I don't need you to get me 18, 15, 17 yards every single time, but Steve, I need 5 yards. I need 6 yards. I need positive yards, something that I can do. Now I can go run pass option. Now I can go play action. Anything just to get the secondary and these linebackers' eyes looking at me so I can get in behind them to try to create explosive pass plays. And for Kevon Lee, look, there's no doubt he's a strong runner. He's a hard runner. But he needs somebody with speed to complement him. And they haven't had that. You know, we've seen it a few times from John Lovett. We haven't seen it from Noah Kane in the past week. So I think, for how good Kevon Lee has been at getting yards these past few weeks, he needs somebody that is going to complement him well, someone with speed. And right now they don't have it.
All right, so in order to get some of those big plays, you know it takes a little longer for some of those bigger plays to develop. So what kind of job, what can the running backs do if they're not the one involved in the pass play to then give the quarterback that extra second he needs to make some of those splash plays?
Right, well, you're right. It certainly starts with protection, right, pushing the football down the field. Penn State did not have time to throw the football downfield on Saturday, and for me, when I looked at that, I mentioned it earlier, it was a lot of one-on-one situations, right, five-on-five at times from that Michigan, bringing that fifth guy off the edge. And, you know, Michigan's front seven, that front four is too good to go up against you on one-on-ones, play after play, especially in the obvious passing downs. We saw it early from Aiden Hutchinson, David Ojabo. Hutchinson had 3 sacks. He had, you know, a hurry that led to an intentional grounding, right? You know, I mean, leading up to the game and the breakdown, again, we did on the podcast, we talked about having your running backs chipping these defensive ends before they went out, having your tight ends chip them before they went out, keeping a tight end in protection, right? Keeping a running back in protection, right? Going max pro, maybe 3 wide receiver routes, things like that. But too often, pressure got in there. And again, I go back to Sean Clifford and not being, at least I don't think when you watch him, not being 100% healthy, Steve, that clock in your head as a quarterback, it speeds up. It's saying, you got to get rid of the football now. You got to get rid of the football because I cannot continue to take big hits after big hits because I'm dealing with pain. I'm dealing with an injury. So it's forcing you to get the ball out early. It's forcing you to be inaccurate. So it's a combination of things. And I think we saw a lot of that in that game on noon on Saturday.
All right. So then what have you thought about the defensive side of it? And how much pressure is on a defense when you're in a situation like this?
I think, look, I think when you hold an opponent at home, you know, to 21 points, I think that's enough to win the football game. I think Penn State's defense did enough to win that football game. Steven, you know, firsthand, this is something that when I was a part of the team in 2011, that's something we dealt with. Our offense was struggling. Our defense was winning football games for us. That's a lot of pressure to put on your defense, knowing that your offense, you know, cannot score points or struggling to score points, struggling to move the football at times, are inconsistent at times. I thought the defense did a heck of a job of keeping everything in front of them, rallying to the ball, making tackles, right? They did their job because we knew what Michigan was. We know who Cade McNamara is as a quarterback. I think he's a very good quarterback. He's not somebody that's going to put the ball in harm's way. He's not going to give you a ton of opportunities to create turnovers. He's going to take his time. He's going to take his completions. He's going to play the field position game. He's going to try to get first downs and slowly move down the field. And I think for the most part, Penn State did a pretty good job of holding him. they did a good job against Haskins as well. I thought at least limiting him and limiting his big runs. I know he had, you know, .140, .150 on the day. It's still a solid day for him. But they did their job for the most part, and I think it goes back to not being able to score more than 21 at home.
Yeah. That's part of it, too, because I thought that, for example, the touchdown they got in the fourth quarter was great punt, three and out, get the ball at the 47, 53-yard drive. That was one of those where I thought that they were showing it that, you know, that was the kind of complimentary football you're looking for, right?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that's exactly what you look for, right? You know, that's what everybody's searching for, that complimentary football, be able to run it, be able to throw the football and move down the field.
All right. How tough is it now? Senior week's coming up, but you work hard, and now you get to this point where, okay, you're looking for a validation, and you didn't get the validation you wanted Saturday. How tough is that on a football team?
You need a win, right? I mean, everyone knows it, right? It doesn't need to be talked about. It doesn't need to be this motivational piece that you look for, because your teammates know you need a win. The coaching staff knows you need a win. The media knows you win. Fans know you need a win. You can't wait to get to Saturday, right? You know, you feel sometimes like you're in a rush because you want to get back out on that field. If you know it's a game you can win, you're trying to get back in the win column. But you got to understand, you got still have to take it one day at a time. You still have to continue to prepare. Because again, you're late in the season now. Teams are a lot better than they've been. They've gotten better each and every week. And you have a team who, you know, quite frankly, I think is a pretty decent football team, and a team that could upset anybody at any point in time. So, you know, focusing on the task at hand is important. But you find out who you are as a player. You find out how strong that bond is on your football team in games like this and in weeks like this, Steve.
Yeah. Let me ask you, when you look at this, how tough is it, you know, you talk about how tough is it to develop on the offensive line? Because you've seen this over and over again.
It's very difficult, right? It's a lot of it is about continuity. It's about guys playing with each other for a long time. It's about guys trusting one another. It's about guys communicating well with one another. It's about not getting upset when things don't go well. I think at one point in time, we saw a few of those Penn State offensive linemen yelling at one another. It can't happen, right? Everybody needs to be dialed in. You need to be on the same page. You need to know what the call is going to be before the defense declares itself, right? Like, you have to know, hey, if I'm getting a five down look, everybody knows it's going to be a five down call, 5-on-5. If I'm getting will pressure, I got to know that either my running back's getting them or the quarterback's going to change and we're going to go. This is all stuff you work throughout the course of the week. You shouldn't be surprised on Saturday afternoon. It shouldn't happen. And at the end of the day, so much about playing quarterback and working with the offensive line, you have rules, right?
Yeah.
So even if there's a new flavor of the week from defense in terms of pressure or a different look, apply your rules, right? Go back to some of the stuff you learned day one install when you're learning new protections and things like that, and go back and apply those, right? Make a call, go play. And, you know, it seems like even this late in the year, there's a lack of communication there. Guys looking around, right? Somebody just needs to step up and take charge, Steve.
Matt, always a pleasure. Appreciate it very much, my friend.
At any time. Thank you so much.